Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning Bible study. We're going to be in Galatians, and we're going to be starting the last chapter of this book, and we're going to be in chapter 6. I think you're wrong. Yeah. But we're going to be in chapter 6. I know we got up to verse 2 last week, but I want to back it up, go back and start with verse 1 in that chapter. Of course, you know, we've been talking about all the leading up to this. We've talked about the different, you know, like walking in the Spirit and Christian liberty, and that's been the last couple chapters here. So we've been talking about different things in this book leading up to chapter 6. And we'll start with, Galatians chapter 6, and start with verse 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering himself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye another burdens, and so burdens the law, so fulfill the law of Christ." You know, like in verse 2, we talked a little bit about last week, you know, we're to kind of help out, you know, help with others' burdens. You know, maybe they're having a tough day. You know, we're to try to help them. Help them along. You're not saying that we have a great day, but also too, but we can help. Take their minds off of different things, of burdens. And it says, so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, help, you know, Christ is there with us. And he's there to help us. You know, he's there to take our burdens. And that's why he's asked us to help out with others when their time of burden is. And of course, in verse 1, it says restore. It says restore such one in the spirit of meekness, consider thyself, least tempted. We all have issues and problems. And it says, you know, that we're always tempted too. You know, we're always tempted out here in the world. And that's the reason why we can always rely on our brothers and sisters in Christ. And because, you know, we always have, every one of us have a burden. And we always have something that's going on. Just like I said, you know, you might be having a bad day. But, you know, they always help. Sometimes it helps just to talk. And it lifts it off.
Mark, we are not to condemn someone if I see one of my brothers or sisters doing wrong. I'm not to condemn them, but I am go back and bring them back to the truth.
Right.
That's what we must do to each other. Because we all make mistakes. Right. Some of the mistakes we might not even see.
Right.
That we're doing it.
True.
I know, you know, I've made mistakes and I didn't realize I'd done it.
Right.
Until somebody pointed it out to me.
True.
And we're going to bring them back to Christ.
True. Well, that's the thing, you know, with us, you know, that's one thing that we'll say, that we're not perfect. You know, we have things that we do wrong. And sometimes you don't even know you did it. You know, and sometimes I guess you want to call it a habit. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe something happened. Best way to say it, maybe like if you throw your clothes on the floor. Some people, like other people, like when Holly comes in, maybe she sees me throwing them on the floor. Well, me, it's just a regular, normal thing. For her, Jesus, what is he doing? Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing. You don't really know that. But a lot of times, over time, you know, out of the help, just like in, like I said, in verse 2, you know, other burdens, you know, maybe that was a burden for somebody else. Because me throwing my stuff on the floor.
Mark, we all do wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Because none of us is perfect. But we are to change that wrong into a right.
Right.
That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do wrong sometimes because we don't understand. But we are to change and make it right.
Right. And, you know, we know that Christ, through his, you know, through him and him living here, you know, being on earth, we know that he lived a perfect life. You know, we know that. And also it says, fulfilled the laws of Christ. You know, he's given us rules, laws, stuff that we need to follow. You know, just like out here in society, you know, like Ohio has different rules, like when you're driving your car on the road. You know, they put them rules, they have to have them laws put there. But they also, too, have to have somebody to enforce them laws. You know, and that's where Christ is. You know, for us, you know, he's given us all them laws. And that's what's in the scriptures here. We have that in the Bible. You know, about anything you think of, you think, hey, this or that, you can go to the scriptures and find it in here. He's already talked about it. He's already kind of told us what we need to do. Same way with, like I said, the society. You know, I hear, you know, we have different laws. You know, just like here on our building here, we have, you know, we're not, you know, supposed to have no firearms inside the building. There's a lot of buildings that way. But they had to put them all, you know, had to put them on the door so people would know. If not, people would just not pay attention. Yeah.
No, he said there, brethren. He's talking all the church. Not
all
just,
church.
Like yeah. I said last week, not just elders, the whole church. If someone's taken away in sin and needs to come back, everyone needs to help that person.
That's right.
Because his soul is in jeopardy.
And that's the thing, it's like what Tom touched on there, the first word, the brethren, that means everyone. And it says, then like the next part, it says, if a man be overtaken in a fault.
That's sin.
Spiritual. Yep. And that's what I was going to say in the next part. It says, which ye are spiritually restored. You know, he's telling us, he's giving guidelines. He's telling us what we need to do. Say it like the best way to say it, if we mess up, he's telling us what we need to do, that we can be restored. And then the next part, it says, such and one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself that has been tempted. You know, he's telling us these things could happen.
Telling good kindness. Not get on them in a way that they feel bad, but help them out. Because you might be getting that temptation, give in to.
Mm-hmm.
He said that. Consider thyself, lest you also be tempted.
Right.
You know, we can be tempted to give in to sin, which we need to watch that and try and do our best. God won't let us be tempted more than we can bear.
Right.
We're all tempted, and we need to watch that ourselves.
Right. And like I said, then we get into verse 2, just talking a little bit about there. It says, bear ye one another's burdens. You know, we're there standing beside that other person. Help them with them burdens. Help them through their time. You know, maybe they are going through a tough time. Or maybe they have something that's going on that's making them giving them a temp, you know, tempting them. And then it says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But it's also telling us that we need to stay within the guidelines and stay within Christ, even helping out another person. We need to stay with Christ. In verse 3, it says, for if a man thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know, I was trying to think of a way I could say that on there. Like, you know, the best way I thought about it says, sometimes, you know, when it says men think himself to be something, you know, don't go beyond yourself. Don't go over your head. You know, always think of yourself, but also too, think of what you need to be doing. And it says, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know, if you do wrong, you know, there's where, you know, I wanted to say it. It's a better, you're a better person if you admit you did do it wrong. That's what I want to. But sometimes, a lot of times, people don't want to do it that way. You know, they want to feel that they're always right.
What's your attitude?
Attitude.
About that? Yeah. Well, it's not going to happen to me. You know, you get into thinking like that, it's like you said, everybody else.
All right.
That's wrong. The question on the first verse, if the brethren, if a man is overtaken in trespass, you are spiritual. So these are Christians, but it says to restore. So what condition is that person in at that point? Are they saved or not saved?
I would say he would be saved.
If he stays right there, it sounds like that's bad news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he'd have to be restored to come back and change. In which, you know, Christ died for us and them too, so we can. We all need to be restored once in a while.
Right.
And we get in our head that, oh, that can't happen to me.
It will happen every time.
Right. Yeah, like what Jimmy's touching there. I guess when I read that and felt that was a person that was already, say, a Christian. You know, it talks about, it says, you know, when it says restore, it's almost like you've renewed. Like with me, like when I was going through my different things, like with law enforcement and fire department, every so many years, I had to go and renew my license. And I thought, well, that'd be almost like me getting restored to be a firefighter or law enforcement. Here, you know, it's talking about a different way in Christians is if you have a fault and you've done wrong, but you've been able to come back and you've been able to restore that and wipe it off just like it never happened.
That's the point to point out to people. Yeah. You know, you can't come back if you don't believe you accept the truth. That restore word, we need to use that when we're explaining someone wants to know what the Church of Christ is. We don't want to use the word reform because that's what was tried in the past and they just brought in other wrong things. We want to restore the original.
True. And that's exactly, I know Holly and I, we've talked about that, going up the road. Other churches that's around that has the name of Church of Christ on their building. You've ever looked how many of them has additional words put on there? And yet tells you, at least that tells me, that's not the original Church of Christ. That means man has added something to it.
being mad at a Church of Christ.
Right.
That tells us a lot that a Church of Christ, but yeah. You might not think that, but
right.
What kind of Church of Christ is it?
Yep. Well, Holly, what was that one that we seen? Wasn't it Grace? Yeah, it had like Grace Church of Christ. But then, you know, there's other ones too that we've seen, but that was the last one that really stuck out, and we didn't know what that was standing for.
Well, in the process of being restored, I often think about restoring a house or restoring a car. I know this is made on, I mean, those are worldly
right.
things. But you're trying to make it look like it did originally, without the termite holes, without the rust.
Mm-hmm.
When you're restoring somebody's spiritual life, you're bringing it back to the new condition, the original condition. And I think that the very next part of it, where it says, in spirit of gentleness, you know, our spiritual lives are fragile. They're fragile things. And I don't know how many times in the past, you know, you hear people that are trying to restore somebody and they're just, you know, this is the way you gotta do it, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah, and more of the same. And they're shaking their fist or they're banging on the pulpit and this, that.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, there's no gentleness to this at all, none whatsoever. It's more like you're being threatened. And nobody listens to being threatened.
No.
When I walk up to a student and I really want to have their attention, I say, now, I tell you what, how about if we do it this way?
Right.
And all of a sudden they're listening because I've stopped yelling.
Yep.
And I've caught their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you do have to yell at people because you have in a sense of danger or whatever. But somebody will listen to you if you just talk to them.
Right.
A lot easier than if you bang your hand on it. All you're going to do is hurt your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Banging on the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
Really, in the long run, that's what you're going to do.
Yep.
And you're going to chase them off. You're going to chase them. And so when you do it in a sense of gentleness or kindness, people have a tendency to wonder why you're doing it. Makes them curious.
There you
makes them want to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world is way too noisy.
Mm-hmm.
And when we whisper or when we're quiet about salvation, all of a sudden somebody says, you know, they're not trying to kill me, they're trying to save me.
Right.
Paying attention. Yeah. Bedside manner.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be the correct term I'm looking for, but, you know, when a doctor
right.
walks up to you and sits on the edge of your bed and says, you know, we need to talk.
Right.
He's not yelling at the top of his voice. He's sitting there concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to you. You know, when the guy sits at the edge of my bed and yells at me, I the first thing I want to do is go to sleep. I want to get out of here. I want to move. I need
mm-hmm.
to leave. But when it says gentleness or meekness, depending on your translation, that's got a whole different flavor to it.
Right.
A different flavor altogether. And I think as Christians, if we pay attention to the definition of the words we're supposed to be using, then maybe we can restore, not reform. I like that phrase.
Right.
Using restoring as opposed to reforming.
Right.
I like that. That was very good. And I think we could do a better job of it, I think. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. One more time, I guess, won't happen too much. But I think that the words, the choices of words that we use,
right.
restore, that's a good word.
Well, you think about, if you think about restore and reform to me means you're changing that person. But also, too, restore means you're putting it back to the original.
Yeah.
There's the two differences between me, you know. And I hate when you was talking about the different things you were talking about. I know I had a teacher when I went through school, and Mr. Wolf, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people, the ones that went to New Lex schools, knew Mr. Wolf. He spoke his mind. And there was one, and I know I've used this before here. You know, he had a lot of different sayings he said. But also, too, the things that stuck in your head. Just like the one that he always used to have to tell a couple of the guys in our class, because they would be, say, messing up, making fault in the class and hurting the class. He would say, if I can't get it through your ear, I'll get it through your rear. You know, they can't do that now, but that was Mr. Wolf. But you know what? After he would maybe say that a couple different times during the class, you know, we never had a problem with that anymore. You know, and that's just from different things. That's just talking about sayings.
I've always wondered, though, with verse 2, bearing one another's burdens, you know, how far we should go to help bear one another's burdens. I mean, you know, it's just a question. I don't have an answer. It's like, well, if they're a brother, sister in Christ, and we're trying to restore them, to what extent?
I think you would go as far as you can go.
Yeah.
And stay in the realms of God.
Right. And that's what you look at in the last part. It says, fulfill the law of Christ. To me, that means you stay within the thing of Christ.
Right.
You don't go out beyond it, because if you do, you're about as bad as the person you're trying to help.
Yeah, you can't be overtaken with your burdens.
Right. Okay.
That's how I think.
As far as it takes to get them reconnected back to God,
platform
the right path after redirecting them and restoring them.
You know, when we think about it, we all need evidence of love. We all need people's help. Sometimes, you know, we come a little weaker to bring us back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason we're one body.
Right.
Life has a way of spinning us.
We have to help each other.
Life has a way of spinning us about, and we're human, so we just need redirected.
Right.
And that relationship restored, because ultimately it comes to us still our relationship with God, and that path we still need to continue on ourselves. But I think that we can assist as far as getting them back on track with that.
And the thing is,
varying per situation, I think, per situation.
Right. And we're all, just like in verse 1, we talked about tempted. We're all tempted. And every time you're tempted, when you do come, you know, if you do wrong, you come back, but you come back stronger. You know, and that's exactly what it, you know, we talk about here. We're going to be getting into that a little bit later down into the chapter here. You know, we have, I'll just go ahead and read verse 4. And it says, verse 4 says, but let every man prove his own work, and then he shall rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. You know, every one of us has the work that we do, and we're proving it. You know, and if you get tempted, you get stronger. You get stronger every time. And that's what it's saying. And but also too, he's telling us to rejoice, knowing that we're getting a little stronger. You're going to be able to stand up to the temptations.
Why do we rejoice? Because we have overcome.
Yep. Exactly.
You know, what we're studying in James chapter 1, what's he say about trials? You know, getting through trials, that's just what you're saying.
Yeah.
You said something about getting stronger. That's just what James says about that. We get through the problems and we're stronger afterwards. And we also have that something too hopeful than that. You know, when it comes down to this, the other thing, the person seeing these sins or this or that, our attitude in that, we have to be very careful. Who do we compare ourselves to? Who should we compare ourselves to? It shouldn't be to other people, our brothers and sisters. It really always should be looking at Christ. We want to see something where we drop our heads, we look at the perfect example.
True. Like I said, and we're to kind of help each other, we're here to help each other. We have a burden, another one can help us. And like I said, we're all out here in the world, and we're tempted every day on different things. But one thing we need to feel, not feel just like in verse 4, saying being alone. You're not alone. You're never alone. You're always somebody there with you. And Christ is there with you every day. If it's during the nighttime, you get up. You might be sitting in your living room in your recliner, like I do sometimes. You think, well, there's nobody here. Really, Christ is right there. He's standing right beside you, and you don't even know it. He's right there. Next week, we'll go ahead and we'll get into Galatians chapter 6. Again there, and start with verse 5. I know we didn't get too far today. I kind of thought that we probably wouldn't get too far, but this is important. These verses here are really very important. It helps take, our burdens. Our burdens and somebody else helping us with different things. So we'll get into Galatians chapter 6, and we'll start around verse 5 next week.